What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devotional with Trust in Jesus Ministries. Glad you're here. Glad you're listening, man. And if you enjoy this podcast, man, give us a share. Let somebody else hear it so they can take part in growing in their lives in Christ and their trust in Jesus as they study the scriptures daily, man. That's what we want to do here. And if you find it beneficial, also give us a thumbs up or a like or a subscribe or write us a review if you can. It really helps out the channel, and we do appreciate that. But let's continue on the story for Genesis. What's happening in the narrative, man? If you haven't read Genesis 39, 7 through 18, go ahead and check it out, man. Read it, see what it has to say. Just stop the tape, and then we'll get back at it. Because it's a bit difficult to understand sometimes what we're talking about if you don't know what we're talking about. So check that scripture out, see what it has to say, and then we will discuss it. Believe me, if it's your first time here, we will hopefully help you to understand what it's saying if you don't. Because that's what we want to do here. We want to help you to grow in your relationship with Christ and understand how to read the scriptures. And that's why we answer the four questions. So if you've already read it, then let's go ahead and jump into it, man. What's going on in the narrative? That's the first question. What's going on in 39, 7 through 18? What's actually happening? Temptation. That's what's happening. Temptation. So in the last episode, I didn't finish it. It was like a 6B is what you would call it, because it actually leads towards the next part of the story. And it says that Joseph was good looking, man. He was fair in appearance, and he was fair in form. He was strong, strapping. And it said that Potiphar's wife looked up at him and was like, dang. So Potiphar's wife thought she was looking, he was looking good. He was looking good. And so she told him to lie with him, and he refused. He was like, I can't do that, man. And he gave three reasons, man. He was like, first off, man, Potiphar, my master, he's like, he put everything in my hands. And he said, I can have everything but you. So last episode, we kind of talked about that weird kind of word. It was like he put everything in his hands, but food, but to what he's going to eat. It's like that don't make sense. But it's a euphemism for his wife. And I think this is how we can kind of see it. Now, the word comes from a specific thing that matches or some way. I can't remember. I should have looked that up this time and let y'all guys in on it. But I didn't. Forgive me for that. But this is how I believe that we can know is because he mimics the same words, but exchanges the food for his wife. And so that was like a weird little thing that I figured I'd talk about. But here Joseph says, man, he has three reasons why he's not going to do this thing. He said, first off, Potiphar said no. Like he put everything in my hands, man. I can't mistrust. I can't lose the trust that Potiphar has given me. And then saying, he's like, you're his wife. I can't do this thing. This great evil. This isn't the thing that I'm supposed to be doing. And then finally he says, I would sin against God, man. He's like, this is a sin not only against you and your husband, but it's a sin against Almighty. This is a sin against Yahweh. This is a sin against God. I can't do that, man. I can't do that, man. But it says that she kept pestering him day in and day out, day in. And he would say the same, I can't do it. I can't do it, man. But said on a particular day, she came in, man, and grabbed him, dude, tried to just tackle him and put him down. And he ran. He ran. He ran so hard, he ran out of shoes, man. Really, he ran out his cloak. He ran out his jacket, man, and she had it still in his hand. And when she found out or realized, I guess, that he had took off and had it in his hand, she concocted a plan. She made a plan that would take this brother down because he would not fall to her sexual advances. Because she was an enemy of him because she couldn't control him. And because she couldn't control him, she tried to destroy him. And that's what she did. She called for her people in her house to come, told the story that he tried to do something to her. And so she snatched that and he ran when she started yelling and she had the cloak in his hand. And then she called her husband and told him about the same incident. Except she said it was beside him. The cloak was beside him. That he left it. Not that she snatched it out off his body, because that'd be probably a little bit more difficult to explain. And so, dude got mad. What's this say about God? What's this say about God? Well, he has to be a strengthener because he is with Joseph, even in this situation. And you wonder, is God with Joseph now? Because everything was prospering, everything was favoring, but then this thing come along where this woman trying to entice him and tear him off his game. Well, he must be with him because this is, for men especially, I mean, and women as well, I know that this is a difficult sin to overcome, which is a sexual sin, man. And so, obviously, Joseph had to have been strengthened by God. Calvin says something like that, man, that, it was the power of the Spirit that kept that brother from this woman, this impious woman, man. God was strengthening him. But he's also a tester. So I believe that this is also a test of God to prove to Joseph his integrity and his growth throughout this situation that he's been going through. But one thing I do know is that he prepares you for the test. When God tests you, he prepares you. What a test is just to prove how well you are. And Joseph proves it, man. But with the power of God strengthening him through it. Now, what does this say about man? I think it says that we should flee temptation, man. Flee temptation. Know that we're strengthened by God. But man, don't be staying in that. Run. Run, my man. Run. But also, I think I talked about this a little bit in the last episode. It's about the family. Discipleship. Training your child, because how did he know that this is a great sin against God? It's because his father Jacob was teaching him these things. Now, I know, dude, they got a crazy family. You know, their brother sold him to slavery. So I know that some of this stuff just ran through him. But we see that when we do teach our kids, when we do disciple our family, that God will sustain them. He will sustain them. So how do we apply these truths to our lives? How do we know that because God is a strengthener and a tester, and that we should flee from temptation, especially sexual sin? How do we apply those truths and then teach our children or disciple our youngins to grow in their knowledge of Christ and their love for him? How do we apply those truths to our lives? Well, first off, I think that we should take a look at the people around us and see who's in our lives. And are we teaching them, the people in our sphere of influence, in our circles, are we helping them grow in Christ? Are we helping them live and know? And if not, you should start doing it. Just so take a look at who surrounds you, who you have in your life, and see how you're impacting them with the word of the Lord, with the knowledge of the Lord. But secondly, man, if you find yourself in temptation, know that God is going to strengthen you. I believe in Corinthians, it says that with every temptation that God has made a way out of it. Now, that way out may have to be to endure with the strength of the Spirit. But run if you can. Run if you can. Hey, I appreciate you guys for listening. And I'll see you guys in the next episode.